A discussion of some political arcana now this week. Devilish details. Are we lost in some of those details, or is a Mitt Romney resume item a big reveal speaking to his credibility and his potential financial conflicts of interest? Question, when did Romney leave Bain Capital, the private equity firm? If you take his word for it, he resigned in 1999. But SEC filings from the firm published by the Boston Globe state he actually left in 2002. We're joined by our Washington correspondent, Todd Zwillick. What difference does this make, Todd?
Because the interim between 1999 and through 2002 is when Democrats have accused firms owned by Bain Capital or controlled by them as being outsourcers. Some of them, that was their sole business, coming in and consulting with other companies about how to save money by moving jobs overseas. Mitt Romney has consistently said, I was not at the company when they were investing in outsourcing firms. I'm not an outsourcer. That's a dirty word in an economy like this, in any economy, really. But those SEC filings show that between February 1999 and through 2002, they say that Mitt Romney, he filed himself, was chief executive, chairman, and sole stockholder of Bain Capital through 2002. And in 01 and 02, John was paid $100,000 of both of those years. If he was paid,
that's one thing. But it's really the question of whether he had management oversight of these decisions, which if he's chairman, it sounds like he must have on some level. The buck must stop with him somehow.
That is going to be the continuing argument of this chapter of the campaign, this narrative building coming from the Obama campaign, all of this opposition research that they have on him and these SEC filings. Here's an interesting bit of tape in terms of disclosure, secrecy, and truth-telling that came from Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, yesterday, who has previously said that with the amount of nondisclosure Mitt Romney is going through, he couldn't be confirmed as a cabinet officer, much less president. Listen to Harry Reid yesterday.
He not only couldn't be confirmed as a cabinet secretary, he couldn't be confirmed as dog catcher, because a dog catcher, at least I want to look at his income tax returns. And what's the long report we have in the Boston Globe today indicates that some, as one of his own employees said, it doesn't make sense.
Now, does the Globe report describe that Romney is lying here or fudging the facts, or just how much at odds is this with the public statements, and how much backfilling is the campaign going to have to do?
The Globe does not have Romney, as it were, dead to rights on the fact that he was actually running Bain when he said he wasn't.
Right.
Romney has said he left the firm. The federal filings, where you're required to tell the truth, tell a different story. The next question will be, was he shot calling for that firm when he says he was completely uninvolved and running the Olympics? Let me, John, play a quick piece of tape from the Romney campaign. This prompted an ad from them. We want to get the Mitt Romney campaign's response in here. Guys, let's hit that Romney tape and what they think of the Obama campaign pushing this narrative.
When a president doesn't tell the truth, how can we trust him to lead? The Obama outsourcing attacks, misleading, unfair, and untrue.
Well, now, there you go. They called that campaign lying, John, yesterday. They used that word.
But how is the Obama campaign, I mean, Harry Reid is one thing, how has the Obama campaign specifically used this Boston Globe report?
They've specifically said that they've called Mitt Romney a liar. Stephanie Cutter, one of the chief advisors to the Obama campaign, said yesterday, and she went pretty far, she said either Mitt Romney is a felon, either he lied in his SEC filings and lied to the federal government about what he was actually doing, or he's hiding the ball from all of the voters. It's one or the other. Those are really strong words. Did it get personal? You bet. They responded right on the Obama campaign to say that Stephanie Cutter was out of control. The president should apologize for the tone of his campaign. John, this storyline isn't over, because these SEC filings are on paper, and Mitt Romney is going to have to probably do a better job of showing that he wasn't doing any decision-making, any shot-calling for Bain Capital in those intervening years.
And all of this becomes ammunition for the later parts of the campaign, when the voltage will go up and the idea is to get passionate voters to the polls on one side or another. And this will definitely be an issue that will emerge. We talked a lot about Obamacare being an issue in the House. They voted once again to reveal Obamacare. They've done it about 30 times or more. But there was more going on in Congress this week.
Yeah, there was. There was a small business tax cut that pretty much everybody agreed on the Senate floor. The House has already passed it. You wouldn't know that everybody agreed on a couple of different versions of cutting taxes for small business. There was one version that would have given it a 20% across-the-board tax cut. There was another version that would have given a 10% cut for hiring new workers, raising wages. John, it all fell apart. And it all fell apart over squabbling over President Obama's proposal from earlier this week about the, extending tax cuts for for everybody making under $250,000, letting the tax cuts expire for people making more than that. Sure, a bunch of political messaging, but both sides tried to force votes at times that were most advantageous for them. And the entire thing that would have probably benefited a lot of small businesses fell apart. Here's Chuck Schumer, the lead message guy for Democrats, after this small business tax cut fell apart, explaining why they're kind of okay with it falling apart.
I could see why Leader McConnell wants to get this over with fast.
Yeah.
But we want to debate it. We want to debate it for a while. And we have a very effective spokesperson leading the charge on that debate, and that's the president. And I think the more people hear about it, the more they're going to be on our side. So he may want to get, you know, get this done with and over with right away. We don't. We're happy to talk about it.
So the squabble really is a difference over whether the Republicans are going to allow the president to have a forum on tax cutting and whether Democrats are going to, you know, force the Republicans into voting down a tax cut.
And not letting Republicans, they say, hold tax cuts for 98% of taxpayers in order to get tax cuts for the top 2%. The president is campaigning at two spots in Virginia today. I think you're going to hear him mention
right.
this, John.
Emotional moment for one of the Senate members yesterday.
Yeah, this is a bit of nice news. I want to play this. Senator Susan Collins is from Maine. Yesterday, she cast her 5,000th consecutive vote. Now, listen to Susan Collins here. I caught her coming after off the floor after casting this vote. You're going to hear a little bit of background cheering from Senator Kent Conrad. This is nice. Listen.
Do you accept the comparison to Cal Ripken? How many senators have thrown that at you?
I have heard that
one. 5,000. Never missed a vote. Superwoman.
There you go.
There you go. And my colleagues have been very nice. To me, this is about showing up for work, doing my job, and ensuring that the people of my state are represented every time the roll is called.
The Cal Ripken reference there is, of course, Cal Ripken starting in more consecutive games ever in the Major League Baseball. She, in this case, more votes than ever before?
She doesn't hold the record for most votes, but John, she has never missed a vote in her entire Senate career. 5,000 votes since January 97, never missed a single one. Isn't that nice?
Superwoman, our Superman on politics, Todd Zwillick, thanks so much.